We left off last week. We mentioned there are three components that go into making bas b'chalom in HaTorah. One is the basa, one is the chalom, one is the bishul. So we started to speak a little bit at the end of the shiur last week about the bishul process. And I want to just backpedal for a moment because there was a nekuda. We couldn't maybe take up the whole shiur. There was a nekuda about the chalom part that we didn't mention at the very end. So I didn't forget about the bishul part. We still got plenty to talk about. Just want to go back for a moment to the idea of chalom. So it's obvious that you require chalav, no question about that. You require chalav in order for bas b'chalav to be an issa min haTorah. And we mentioned that the Gemara tells us that there's a certain derivative of milk that's not really considered to be chalav, at least on the level of their eyes, and that's called mei chalav. So we very loosely translated that to mean whey, whether that's exactly what it means, or whether it means something further along the process of the separating of the curds in the way, but the Gemara talks about the Mechal. That's the bottom line. The Gemara talks about Mechal. The Gemara identifies that at least Minat Torah, whatever you define Mechal to be, there's no Bas B'chal of Deraisa. So there is a startling statement that the Rosh quotes in the name of one of the Rishon Rabbeinu Eliezer. It's a little chuckling statement there. Rabbeinu Eliezer, one of the Gedolei Rishonim, the following Cheshbon. He said that basically what the Gemara is telling us is that Mechal is not considered to be milk. It's not the Torah's definition of milk. And therefore, that's a kula. A kula being that therefore, bas b'chalav min haTorah doesn't apply to it. But says Rabbeinu Eliezer, there's a tremendous chumrah that emanates from that, and that is as follows. There is a Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Bechoros, raises the question, how are you ever permitted to drink milk? All milk should be problematic. All milk should be, enjoy your coffee till before the end of the shiur. All milk, I see some people running to the almond milk, right? Chalav shkeidim, you want to put the peels there. So all milk should potentially be treif. Why should all milk be treif? So the Gemara has two reasons why. So one reason is, there is a Tana in the beginning of Maseches Nida, Meir's view, who says, dam nekar v'naseh chalav, that there's some kind of a connection between when the body produces blood and the body produces milk. So again, it's very, very hard for us to understand what in the world Rabbi Meir meant from a biological point of view. But Rabbi Meir made the observation that there are different times in a woman's life, the times in an animal's life, where it's producing milk. And at the time that it's producing milk, it's generally not producing blood. Normally those two cycles, the cycles of the woman are all interrelated, that usually when she's nursing, so she doesn't get a regular period. It's not always 100% true, but there is some kind of a correlation between those two things. So Rabbi Meir said that Apia Locha, somehow we view this through the lens of Dam Nekav and Asa Cholav, that the Cholav is somehow considered to be as an extension of the Dam, that sometimes it presents itself as Dam, sometimes it presents itself as Cholav. Again, it's very, very hard what in the world Rabbi Meir meant. And Rabbi Meir derives this from Psukim, and again it's one of those Sisrei Torah in the terms of, as we call it, the Torah Ma, the world. But the Maaseh, Rabbi Meir says such an idea, Dam Nekav and Asa Cholav. So the Gemara beginning of the Bechor says, if that's the case, so then all milk should be treif, because all milk came about from dam. And since you're not allowed to eat blood, so then you're not allowed to drink the milk that came from the blood, because the all milk is a quote-unquote a blood derivative. That's according to the understanding, whatever that means, of Rabbi Meir's view. It's interesting because clearly the blood has changed 100 times over. Even according to Rabbi Meir, there's a difference between a cup of blood and a cup of milk. It doesn't look the same. So the Gemara still thought that even though it has significantly undergone changes, it still retains its original status. That's a very, very loaded question, because that's a big thing. Machlokes Rishonim is called Issa Shenishtana. You have a davar asur, so you have a piece of chazer, and then you put the chazer into the lab, and you do this test and that, and you run it through a million different processes, and in the end, you end up with some enzyme or something. So is that treif? Is that considered to be something that came from chazer? Or do I say that since it underwent so many physical changes along the way, it doesn't look, doesn't taste, doesn't smell like chazer anymore, so that's ois chazer? So the simple reading of that Gemara sounds like Issa Shenishtana doesn't help. That even though the milk was clearly changed from the dam, the Gemara still thought that it should have been problematic. Then the Gemara rephrases the question. The Gemara says, what about according to those who disagree with this theory of Rabbi Meir? The way we pass in the dam is not Nekar HaSachal. We don't even buy into that whole halakha, biological, whatever that statement is all about. So the Gemara says, according to everybody else, why would one think that milk would be off limits? So the Gemara has a different reason. The Gemara says that it's Yaitzim in HaAsar. In the state of being, you're not allowed to eat a live animal. That's either a violation of Eva Menachaya, Bosa Menachaya, or Nat Shechter, whatever, a half dozen different reasons why you're not allowed to take a bite out of a live animal. So just as you're not allowed to take a bite out of a live animal, anything that comes from the live animal should be problematic, should be Yotzim and Asur. Same way we said a couple of weeks ago, that's the reason why if you have milk comes out of a chazir, out of a camel, why that milk is treif. So because it's yotzim and a davar aser. So to all milk, even cow's milk, sheep's milk, goat's milk, all milk should be a davar hayotzim and a aser. So the Gemara takes that question very, very seriously, and the Gemara says, "Taka, what's the answer?" So why is it that milk is not a problem of cow, and why is it that milk is not a problem of yotzim and aser? So the Gemara finally concludes with Eretz Avas Chalav Udvash. The Torah says that you come to Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah is praising Eretz Yisrael as being the place of the land of overflowing with milk and honey. If all the milk is treif, that would be a pretty strange tourist advertisement. That's what I've commented in the past that I think the picture for the Israeli Ministry of Tourism are two guys carrying a pole with grapes coming down. So who thought of that cuckoo idea? That was the worst tour in the history of the Klai Israel. That was the Meraglim, that became the model of it. So I'm shook in the thought of that is to be decided. So to over here, the Torah is telling you, you're coming to Eretz Israel, you have this delicious, yummy milk. And by the way, you can't have anyway because it's all treif. You got to give it all to the Goyim. So that's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. So obviously the Torah is telling us that milk is butter. So many assume what the Gemara meant was as follows, that taka, the reasons that we should have asin milk really make sense. All milk should have been dam, according to Rimei. All milk should have been yetzim and evim and achai, yetzim and asur, according to the Rabbanan. Really, according to all the regular rules of Hilchos Kashrus, all milk should have been mamish treif. But the Torah trumps it. The Torah says, if it's called chalav, it's chalav, finish gemara. Eretz levas chalav. You can't ask any kashrus on the Torah. So with this background comes Rabbeinu Eliezer, it's quoted by the Rosh and Chulin, and says as follows. La'olam, anything that comes out of a live animal should be treif. So any liquid that comes out of a live animal should be treif. Elawat, if it's called chalav, I can't ask a chalav. Torah says chalav mutter, chalav mutter. Wait a second. Nei chalav is not chalav? Because we just got finished saying, bas b'chalav, the whey is not really considered to be like chalav. So mei chalav is not considered to be milk. If it's not considered to be milk, it's not on the advertisement of come to Eretz and drink the whey. You know, Rosh Hashanah's not saying that. Come to Eretz and have the curds, don't have the whey. Eretz Avas Chalav Udvash, the Gzeres across of chalav only includes the curds part of the milk. Doesn't include the whey part of the milk. So therefore, all milk in the world, all whey in the world, says Rabbi Eliezer, is treif, also in the Torah. It's a yotzim and an aser, and it hasn't had a heter, it hasn't had a gzeres hakosuv, and therefore it's always by definition going to be treif gam min hatorah. That was what the Rabbi Eliezer said. Rosh said, what? He said, all whey is treif. We spent the whole week last week trying to figure out whether it's milchik or not. He said, that's treif? It can't be. So Rabbi Eliezer says, the Rosh says back to Rabbi Eliezer, says, it must be that. That whey is also considered to be milk. It's part of milk, but it's considered to be zavas lavadvash. It's a gzeres hakosov. It's a din prati. It's a localized din nuchos bas b'cholav. That's not subject to bas b'cholav. Why not? So you got to figure out what the gzeres hakosov is. But says the Rosh, to say that's not called milk, to say that it's not called milk l'chaldini atayra, that doesn't make any sense, says the Rosh. Of course, it's called milk l'chaldini atayra, and therefore it would be covered when the Torah says eretz avas chalav udvash. That means the curds and the whey, and it means everything is okay. Everything is included in the gzeres hakosov. So when all the dust settles, you have machlekes, the gedolei Rishon, Rabbi Eliezer, and the Rosh. L'maisa, you're going to drink whey. So anytime we said last week, anytime you see the ingredient whey, you have to think that it's milchik, quinter, Rabbi Eliezer. The minute that you see the word whey, it's treif. You can't have all mechal is treif. So, and I think it goes without saying that we don't pass like this, Rabbi Eliezer. We pass like the Rosh and Shulchan Aruch. Nobody ever heard such a thing except for that lone sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. We pass like that's mutter. The Shach in Yerideya has another suggestion as to why he thinks it should be mutter, why he thinks that we cannot accept this Rabbi Eliezer, and the Shach actually has some relevance for us, Lamaisa, in the following. So the Shach says that the Gzeres HaKosov of Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash doesn't just mean that whatever's called milk is mutter, and then we have to sit around and philosophize whether whey is called milk or not. That's not the Gzeres HaKosov. The Gzeres HaKosov, says the Shach, is that there's no such thing called Isra Yotzim Eva Bidachai. The Torah says that there's an Isra Yotzim Bina Osir. So Yotzim Bina Chazir is Chazir, Yotzim Bina Treif is Treif, Yotzim Bina Gomel is like Gomel, Yotzim Bina Treif a bird, your eggs come from a Treif a bird, that's true. Anything that comes out from Treifus is a problem. By telling us Eretz Avas Chalav Udvash, what the Torah is telling us is to go back to the drawing board and redefine what is Yotzim Bina Osir, what does the word Osir mean? Eva Bidachai is not a Dover Osir. A davar chai is not awesome. you might say, no, I need it right now. You have to shech it first, but you can't call it a davar also. It doesn't create an iser of yotze. So says the shach, what are you pulling about whether a whey is called milk, but not called milk? Who cares, Rav Kamina, what's called milk, not called milk? At the end of the day, linked to this gzeres hakos of Eretz of Aschlav Udvash is that the entire din of yotze doesn't apply. That's the shach's approach to the suya against the rishonim. Why should that be so? What's the svar? What's the lamdus hadavar? Why should the Isra of Yotze be any less than Yotze min ha'eva min ha'chai be any less? Manishtana eva min ha'chai from other Isurim. So perhaps what I could suggest as a follows, as a throwback to when we first spoke about the idea of Dvar Yotze min ha'chai. We spoke about this thing a while ago. When you have a Dvar Yotze min ha'chai, so what exactly is wrong with eating a live animal? We're 8 months into Chos Kashrus, we should ask this question. Why can't I go over to an animal, take a bite out of the animal? What exactly is the problem? What's the problem? Even a goy is not allowed to do that. Even menachai, everyone knows you're not allowed to do that. But even though that's true, that there's an isra of even menachai, believe it or not, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Chulin, according to one opinion, that the only time that even menachai is also is kipshuto kibashmo, ever min hachai. That means I take an aver from a chai. What if I eat the entire live item? I don't eat it as not a cow. How to do that? A smaller, little bird. Take a little live item and I gobble it down in one shot. So swallow David and a chai at one shot. So one could argue that's not called aver and a chai. So what is wrong with that exactly? What is the iser of the dover hachai? So there are some who suggest that maybe the Isra of the Dover Chai, as a throwback to what we spoke about before, called an Isra She'ena Shchuta. The Torah says, "Mizavachta kasher tibisicha." You have to shech before you partake of meat. There's no way in the world that a Jew can eat meat that wasn't shechted. So if the animal dies without shechting, that's what's called nevela. If the animal is alive without being shechted, I can't call that nevela. It's not nevela, it's not treifa, it's not Eved Menachai. It's only Eved Menachai if I take part of it. So what is it? What is wrong with this entity called I'm looking at a live cow. What's the name of it? Tell me the issa that's sitting on the head of this live cow and I can't eat it. So the issa is what's called the mitzvah of shechting. And the mitzvah of shechting carries with it a corollary issa called issa she'ena zavuach. Any and every time I partake of meat that wasn't shechted, that's included in the parasha Torah zavachta kashes v'sicha prat ledovah she'ena zavuach. Right, that's right. If you think that the definition of Eved Menachai for Jews and Goyim are the same, then you'd have a very, very strange phenomenon. I cannot paskin that Shaila Halacha Maisa yet because it's a complicated sugya Maseches Chulin about Jews and non-Jews and then about Eved Menachai, Bosom Menachai. It's very, very, very complicated. So next time somebody asks you that question, don't hold off. Don't check with that local non-Jewish kashrus organization whether they're allowed to do that. Okay. Imagine something. O-U-A on it. Eved Menachai. So, back to that story. So, now, in light of this suggestion, so now we have a strange new way of looking at the Gemara Maseches Bechoras. The Gemara Bechoras opens up with the possibility, all milk should be treif. Why should all milk be treif? Because all milk is yotze min hachai. Yotze from what chai? What is it? What's the issue exactly? I have a cow. The cow looks whole, complete cow. And I want to know, I can't drink the milk because it's hot. I can't drink the milk because it's yotze min hachai. What's the name of that iser? It's not Eva Minachai. Nothing was taken off the cow yet. So the only iser I can come up with is the iser she'ena zavuach. An iser she'ena zavuach is an iser asay. It's not an iser los asay. Perhaps what the Torah is telling us is that yotze mina also applies to dvarim ha'asurim. And we say dvarim ha'asurim means asurim b'los asay. When something is an iser los asay in it, that's called a dvar ha'asur. That creates an iser of yotze mina asur. When something is prohibited to be because of an iser asay, again, I don't want to minimize the dinya Torah. Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, you know, Vizor commits a kala v'chamura, but it's still not the same. An iser asay is not the same as a los asay. And therefore, maybe one could argue the Chiddush HaTorah that Yaitzim ben Asur is Asur was never said in Asays. It's a Chiddush HaTorah Gzeres Kos was only said in Los Asays, wasn't said in Asays. What would I gain with this Shtickle Torah besides the milk is okay anyway, the whey is okay, everything's okay anyway. What am I gaining? I'll tell you what I'm gaining. I'm going to use this Shtickle Torah to answer the Ramban's cash against the Rambam. The Rambam has a fascinating addition to the dinim of kashrus. We usually don't think of this in terms of kashrus. We're usually repulsed from this for other reasons, rightfully so. But the Rambam in Perek Beis and Hilchos Machalos Asuros raises the question about Pesar Adam. What is the status of human flesh in terms of kashrus? Forget about all the other gory parts of Isurim and other sordid reasons. In terms of pure Hilchos Kashrus, or impure Hilchos Kashrus, is Besar Adam considered to be a violation of eating non-kosher meat or not? So the Rambam claims, based on the Torah's konim, a split. The Rambam says, it's not a law in the Torah. The law in the Torah is, Mibsarim lo sochelu, that you're not allowed to eat chazir, you're not allowed to eat elephants, and you can't eat horses, you can't eat dogs, you can't eat bears, anything that has that doesn't have both siman. The Torah singles out explicitly even things that have one siman in kavachomer, things that have no siman in kashrus. So if it doesn't chew its cud, does have a split hoof, so that's either one of the siman in kashrus are missing. So then that's called machalos asuros. That's yechayim malchus for. So the Rambam writes, a human being, it's true, doesn't chew its cud either, and it doesn't have a split hoof, but the Torah doesn't speak to that. It means an a human being is part of the animal kingdom, but it's not in the parasha of having split hooves. It's not in the parasha of chewing its cud. So the whole sugya of the simanim of kashrus don't speak to human flesh. And therefore, to say that it's a violation because it doesn't chew its cud, that's silly, says the rabbi. That's like saying, let's say, Lamashal, an apple. You can't eat apple. You know why? Because it doesn't chew its cud. Because it doesn't have a split hoof. So that's a meaningless statement. So human flesh is not shaykh to the parasha of the simanim of kashrus, and therefore, the law of eating non-kosher species doesn't apply to it. Does that mean, therefore, there's no kashrus involved at all in eating human flesh? So the Rambam says, no, there is a violation of kashrus. A totally different violation. What's the violation? Osa tochelu. The Torah says in Parashat Shmini, you should eat the following animal flesh. You should eat, well, you can eat, besar from a shore, from the cow, from the that family, anything from the sheep, anything from the goat. Those species are okay. Or the chayas of mutter, the deer, the antelopes, whatever the seven mini chayas are, the giraffes, whatever you think they are. So you're allowed to eat the following, implying that any other animal flesh is not permitted to be in. But I said, very carefully, implying. It doesn't say lo sochlu, it says osatochelu, eat the following, implying that you're not allowed to eat the others. So basically comes the Rambam and says the following chiddush. If you want to sit down and have human flesh, so again, putting aside all the other ritzichas and esu ha'no'am and ameis and bitul mitzvah kvura and nivul ameis and being a menuvol and being a mushko. So we're putting aside all the other potentially sort of cannibalism right now. But just in terms of the pure kashrus angle, so the Rambam says it is machalos asuros, but it's only an assay, it's not a los assay. It's an assay of osato chelu lemait besar adam, but to say the Yechayim Malkus that the Rambam claims is not true. So the Ramban, both in his parish and Chumash and Parish Shmini, as well as in Maseches Ksubis on Daf Samech, the Ramban has the same kash against the Rambam. The Ramban says that the Rambam's right that human flesh is really part of kashrus, will be the lower version of a kashrus, that it should carry with it an isur of yaitzim and asur. And therefore, all human milk should be treif. And all human milk is a yaitzim and asur. It's coming out of a treif. I think if you'd want to eat a person, you couldn't eat a person. So the same way I can't eat a person, you can't drink the milk that comes out of a person. The same way I want to eat chazer, I can't do that. So therefore, I can't drink the milk that comes from chazer. I'd like to eat an ostrich, I can't do that. So too, I can't eat the eggs that come out of the ostrich. So that's the Ramban's kash against the Rambam. So the Ramban says, "Mitachem Akusha, the question is so overwhelming. Everybody knows you're allowed to drink milk. Babies drink milk, and even adults. The Gemara says that midirabanon, it's considered to be inappropriate. I mean, also, it's an issa midirabanon for a person to literally nurse directly from an adult, from a woman. But if for whatever reason you extract the milk and you put it into a cup and now the person drinks it, so then the Gemara says that's really okay. There's nothing, not also midirabanon, not also midirabanon. So says the Ramban, how could that be? How in the world are you permitted to, how could you sanction drinking human milk? He said, isn't that a problem of yaitzim and also? So therefore, the whole issur of Besar Adam is only midrabanan. It's nothing to do with kashrus, with cannibalism, is also other reasons. But in terms of kashrus, there's nothing wrong with kashrus, says the Rabban, at the level of derai. So what would the Rambam respond to this? So the Magen Mishnah, the spot says, that the answer would be as follows, that the Besar Adam is a lower level issur. It's only an issur essay, as we said before, like the Shach, that things that are not real kashrus concerns, in terms of lavim, gemurim, and malchus within whole nine yards, don't carry them in Issa Yotzei. So the Issa Yotzei is limited. Issa Yotzei is not the Raya Brura, that's not going to be the end all to prove whether it is or is not a kashrus concern. So the bottom line is back to our milk. So back to regular, putting aside the human milk for a minute. Human milk is technically speaking, permissible. It's not even really milchiks. Human milk is, this is a common shayla. Human milk is should be treated like milk midirabbanan, shumar sayin. You shouldn't sit around and pour your human milk. A woman has his breast milk. Shouldn't be put into the fleshy pots. It should be treated as milchiks midirabbanan, because it doesn't look, it looks too close for comfort. I have two shaylas this week, almost the same shayla, which is just indicative of the wild, crazy world that we live in. That some of you may be aware of the fact that there's a big shortage of baby formula now. People thought we were actually at a point you can't go to the store and buy baby formula anymore. So I'm shook in the world that we live in. So there are some shaylas. There are some people who when they plan how much milk they're going to use, so when they're pumping, so on Shabbos, unless the baby's eating directly, so it's a very, very serious shayla of pumping and storing. So here, women these weeks are very, very careful, trying to save every last drop of their natural milk. So two women asked me the same shayla this week. They want to pump on Shabbos to save. Shabbos their Isa, the pump on Shabbos to save. So I figured different kunsim on me. I mean, Amir Yaakov, other things, they try to be a little bit more makil on some of these shaylas. But Olah Adas, we'd be living in the world today, there would be a shortage of baby formula. Strange thing. Okay. Anyway, back to the story.
This assumes
it's Israel as a bull. Right. There's all like Tyson's, right? That's right. It's all assuming that's true, right? For 100%. Right. Tyson has not all the show even have it, you're right. Right. The Raven has a suffering about it. It's not sure. The Raven's not even sure whether it exists. But anyway, so the bottom line is, so we go a little bit back to our milk story. So in order for that boss mecholov, that's our main topic, the boss mecholov, it's got to be really milk, and the mecholov is excluded. Whether that starts the whole ball rolling, Rabbi Eliezer's whole razzah of chadish Torah, that therefore all the way is treif. So we said that's not acceptable, either because, like the Rosh said, that whey is considered to be cholov, it's just exempted, it's a din prati from boss mecholov. Well, like the shach shtikul Torah, that nichla and exeris a kosov, that Eretz Vashchal Vodvash is that Yetzei Minha essays, these kind of low degree of Isser, Vachal Sasuris doesn't carry with it, the din of Yetzei.
Why are you letting eat eggs from
kosher? Oh, very good. So according to everybody, why are you allowed to have eggs? So eggs, it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't ask explicitly what's the source, the eggs are mutter. So the Rishon asks the Kasha. Tyson Fulin quotes the Kasha. It's the same Kasha as the milk story. Why aren't the same way that the Gemara had a havmin, all milk was treif? So we should have a havmin, all eggs are treif, because they're also yotzei min asur. So some of the Rishon point out that from the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to tell you that an ostrich egg is asur, beitza sayana is asur, that implies that a chicken egg would be mutter. So it's almost like the same kind of a question. Okay, that was all the Shirayim. That was just the introduction from that was the end of the lesson. Now we're back to our main sugi for this week. So we mentioned last week that in order for Bishul Bas Mechalov to be applicable in our Torah, it has to have a shem Bishul. We mentioned the question, it's not even 100% clear what's called Bishul for these purposes. Does Bishul mean any and every kind of process of preparing raw food with heat? So cooking, frying, baking, roasting, barbecue, anything and everything is called Bishul. Well, no, Bishul means Mechalav Yima with liquid. Cook it in a pot of milk. That's the model in a Torah. Everything else, from cheeseburgers and beyond, everything else at worst will only be midrabbanan. That's an important enough gemin ladina. It's something deraisa. Then it's also bebishul ubahano. If it's only midrabbanan, then it's only also then it would only be also beachila. When we speak about bishul bosu b'cholov, so we realize right away that the word bishul is not something that only appears in Ruchos Bas B'cholov. Very often in halacha, when you have a term that's used in one area of halacha, it helps you to figure out what it means in other areas of halacha as well. So here we find this, the term bishul has meaning in Ruchos Shabbos. That's why the Lama Tes B'cholov is bishul / afiyah. A little bit in Yad Yomah for us, Pesach Sheni people, that Bishul plays a role in terms of Korban Pesach as well, because you're actually not allowed to cook the Korban Pesach. Bashem Hushim Alayim is Asar. Bishul plays a role with the Rabbanan, as we spoke about earlier in the year, about Bishul Akum. So Bishul is a fairly familiar term in Halacha, so it behooves us to get a little bit of a better understanding as to what Bishul means in other areas of Halacha before we can apply it here as well. So the Gemara, in the end of the second parak of Maseches Pesachim, I'm sure young from Korban Pesach, so the Gemara discusses what is the din of a Bishul of a Korban Pesach, the Chamei Tveria. What would that halacha be if a person takes the meat of the Korban Pesach and they cook up the meat of the Korban Pesach in the hot springs of Tveria? Would that be a violation of Boshem Vushem B'mayim? Would that be considered that you ate something that was the Zbashel? Or would I say, no, that's not the Bishul Chami Tveria, that's not considered to be a Bishul Sh'amavat Torah. So there's a funny kasha that some of the Echironim ask, is that, wait a second, how in the world did the Korban Pesach get from Yerushalayim to Tveria? That's a 3-hour bus ride. What happened exactly? So it's interesting. Some Achareim had no idea what Tveria was. Some Achareim say, it must be, maybe it's within the Gvul, maybe it's within the Chum, maybe it's obviously we know that Tveria and Yerushalayim are nowhere near each other. So how in the world did it get there? So everyone starts pilpling, no, it's Hachamaiskin, and it's Mana Bamas, and maybe they are bringing in a Bamak Tata, but G'day. The mice, the answer to the question is Kasha is not Mishkan Kasha in the first place. Chami Tveria doesn't mean literally the hot springs of Tveria. It means hot spring. You have the hot springs of Meir Shemulson, whatever they're also out of the wall. The hot springs of the Rova. If you have a hot spring, that's the Gemara's Kasha. Enough Gemina, whether you live in Tveria or not, whether you shech the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim and try to get it to the bus at Tveria. There's nothing to do with Tveria. So what's the din? So if you have a Korban Pesach and it's Bash of Chami Tveria, is that considered to be a violation of Bash of Mushal B'mayim? So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says that the Pesach Shabbish B'chami Tveria is Potter, and the Gemara compares this to other dinim of B'chami Tveria. There's the sugyas that appear in Maseches Shabbos in the third parak about Bishul and Shabbos B'chami Tveria. So the basic rule is that it's not considered to be Bishul, that the cooking up of something with the B'chami Tveria is not considered to be Bishul. There's one day in the Gemara that disagrees. The Gemara quotes one Tana Rabbi Yossi. He says no, that B'chami Tveria is considered to be regular Bishul. Why is it considered to be regular bishul? Because we view it as if you're cooking in the fire. Where's the fire? Under the ground. Whatever the heat, the hot, that's where the chum tver are coming from the hot, center, so the molten core, is that correct? Of the earth, something like that. Remember earth science back from fourth grade. So the hot core of the earth, that's the source ultimately for the hot water, the geysers that come shooting up. So that's considered to be like, bishul, what's the difference? What's the difference whether you're cooking in a pot of water on the fire, or when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a big, big fire inside the earth, that's also considered to be a bishul. So we don't pass like that. So the Gemara has a phrase. Again, it's unclear what the Gemara meant. It's literally or figuratively, but the Gemara has a phrase in the third Brech Masech HaShabbos that the Chami Tveria is Pisach Shel Gehenem Sham. That it's getting hot from the inside the earth. Inside the earth, that's where the Pesach of Gehenem is again. Whatever that literally or figuratively means, not for now. So back to the story. So, but we pass the halacha that the Chami Tveria is not really considered to be Bishul, both for the purposes of Shabbos as well as for the purposes of the Korban Pesach. So the question is, why exactly is that so? Well, what is the nature of that halacha? So that halacha seems to be linked to another halacha about Bishul B'chama. The Mishnah says in the same sugya, Masechah Shabbos, that talks about Bishul B'chama Tveria and Shabbos, talks about Bishul B'chama as well, about cooking in the sun. So a person takes an egg and fries it on the sun, on the hot sidewalk. So is that considered to be Bishul? So the Gemara says, no. The Mishnah says, that's not called Bishul. For sure, that's not called Bishul min haTorah. Maybe Bishul min haRabbanan. That's a whole detailed sugya in Masechah Shabbos. Is that possibly even in the ballpark of being Bishul min haRabbanan? But Bishul min haTorah, for sure, it's not. So therefore, the corollary of that would be if you cook up your Korban Pesach in the Chama, it also wouldn't consider to be Bishul. So what's going on? What are these halachas about? Why is it that somehow Bishul B'chama, Bishul B'chama Tveria, some of these things are not considered to be Bishul? And how would this play out for us in terms of Ilchus Basa B'chalav? L'chora, we should equate this up, the two. L'chora, we should say that whatever's not called Bishul for these two areas of Halacha is probably not called for Basa B'chalav either in the Torah. But what is this based on? What's the tour of these kinds of funny kinds of Bishuls? So there is a big, big machlokes, the Gedolei HaPoskim of the last generation between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman as to what is the nature of this din. What's this Halacha all about? So Rav Moshe claims, based on a Rashi in the third Bech Masechah Shabbos, that these halachas are based on one very, very simple principle called Shalai Kederach. That Shalai Kederach is like, did something in an abnormal fashion. Normal Bishul in people's minds means you're cooking the fire. You don't cook in the sun. You don't cook in the hot bathtubs of Tveria or something. That's not the way a normal person cooks. And therefore the halacha says that whenever something is done Shalai Kederach, so that's not included in the Dini HaTorah. Shabbos doesn't speak to you, Bas B'chol doesn't speak to you, Pesach doesn't speak to you. The halacha doesn't apply when you have these Meshunadika things. What exactly does that mean? Is that really true? That whenever you do things Shalok Kederach, then none of the Dini HaTorah apply? So that's very, very tricky, because we find Now, in Hilchos Shabbos, that's for sure the case. Any and every time I do something on Shabbos in a strange way, it's by definition never going to be a deraisa. Let's say a person writes, a righty writes with the left hand, scribbles with the left hand, that's not called kosev b'nei Torah. Let's say instead of carrying something in my pocket, which is Ram deraisa, I go ahead and I stick it under my arm or something, I stick it in my shoe, stick it under my hat. So that's also not called carrying b'nei Torah. Those are mishnayos. So all the malachas Shabbos that I do, shalom kederach, are for sure considered to be not a serum deraisa. That's true in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. Does that carry over to Kol HaTorah Kula? Anytime I do something in an abnormal fashion, so it's not awesome, the Torah doesn't speak to those kinds of cases. So there is an important beer from the Egle Tal. Egle Tal was the Sochot Shem Rebbe, the Abdenezer, who wrote one of the world classics on sugyas in Hilchos Shabbos. So in the Sefer Egle Tal, he mamish develops a brisket Torah. He was a Chassidish, he develops a brisket Torah. I think I told over the story when one of his descendants was here a couple of years ago. So I think it was like right before COVID. One of the rebbes was here, was a descendant of the Egle Tal. And somebody from the yeshiva was Hakav. I should go meet him, or spend time with him. So very, very nice. As a rebbe. So I went to go come upon him. So I went to the rebbe. So he asked me what I was learning at the time. So I was like, so I guess something was not talking about. He was mamsh holding. I told him about a rash, but talked to it in the second back of a kam at the time. He was totally on top of it. We were talking, mamsh, and talking, learning a little bit. And he was talking like a regular shiva charade of a sugya. So afterwards, he said to me that even, he was like apologizing. He said, even though I'm a Rebbe on one side, my mother's side, I'm from the Beis HaLevi, he said. I'm from the Briskers. So that's why I talk that. I said, okay, now we understood, we're talking the same. So anyway, so the Rebbe is also great. Abinezer can hold his own in learning with any gadol from any time in any place. So there's nothing to do with the Chassidish Misnag, that she was a good Eilam in his own right. So he doesn't need my approval of the Abinezer. So in Sefer Leitao, but he has Mamshech a brisket Torah. This would come much more out of brisk. So the Egle Tal says that there are two halachas, two dinim of Shalei Kederach. Not all Shalei Kederach is the same. So he said, sometimes Shalei Kederach is Shalei Kederach simply the Gavra. That means you chose as a person to do the malach in an abnormal fashion. But Lemaisa, the malach is the same. But then the marshal, I carry something in my shoe. At the end of the day, the item got transported. It means that the item made it from one rishus to the next. So the etzem ha-malach b'tam ha-cheftza was done kederach. It's the same thing. It's the same item was carried by nafkamira. You as a person chose to do it in a rishon dik way. Well, let's say l'mosha, we have a man in the application. The person flips on a light switch with his elbow. It's the same light. The light's on. The light's not dimmer because it went on with the elbow. But you as a gavram, some rishon dik guy, you decide to do it in an abnormal fashion. So is that considered to be a Shalei Kederach? So the answer is yes. That's for sure considered to be Shalei Kederach. There's a Mishayis like that it's considered to be Shalei Kederach. You carry in your left hand. I mean, something that's not normal to carry in your left hand. You carry under your head, carry in your shoe. That's called Shalei Kederach, even though there's no change mitzad ha-chafza, just mitzad ha-chafza. But sometimes you have Shalei Kederach, says the Egle Tal, where the etzav ha-malocha is posha different. It means you look at the outcome and you say, it's not the same. There's something fundamentally different, radically different about this item. So says the Egle Tal, when you're dealing with something which is just a difference in the gavra, you chose to do it with your left hand or something, you're carrying it in your shoe. So that's a din Hilchos Shabbos. That will be covered by the Ptur of Hilchos Shabbos, because for Shabbos to be chayiv, it's got to be Mishkan, Lechaz Machshev, it's got to be the perfect model, the perfect replica of the normal way they built the Mishkan. They didn't build it with their left hands. They built it in the normal fashion. So in order to be chayiv in Hilchos Shabbos, it's got to be a perfectly normal, complete hei mitzad agav, hei mitzad achef. So however, in order to evoke the sugyo, shelo kederech, to be a poter in other areas of halacha, just because you did it in a funny way, that's not called a poter. It has to be that the chavtza itself is different. The etzem ha-isser is different. There's something radically different with where the malacha is taking place, not just as a tangential in the way you perform the malacha. There has to be a radically different malacha, hein mitzana, not mitzana, malacha, hein mitzana ha-isser itself. So the Egle Tal gives us an example. He says, this din of, let's say, bishul b'chama, cooking in the sun, or the extension cooking in the chami teveria. So what kind of shalei kederech is that? Is that a shalei kederech, hey, mitzad ha-gavra, or is that mitzad ha-cheftza? So says the Egle Tal, he thinks that's a chisaron mitzad ha-cheftza. It's a different cooking process. It means the food tastes different, the food is different, the result is different when something is prepared b'chama, when something is prepared the eish. And that's why the Gemara is able to jump to other areas of halacha. That's why the Gemara says that is not called mevushal, because that's a kol tarakul dekadin. If it would have only been a chisaron of the gava, you chose to do it funny, but mitama chevtz, it would be identical. So then that wouldn't carry over to other areas of halacha, not for korban pesach, nor for basa b'cholov. That's a famous yisoy that the Eglei Tal develops. So I remember when I first saw this Eglei Tal many years ago, so I was like chuckling a little bit. I was thinking to myself, is that true? Are those facts right? Something that's cooked in the sun is not the same fundamentally as cooked on the fire. I mean, there's a different chevtza from cooking. I said, come on. I said, this is cooked and this is cooked. It's all the same thing. So well, I didn't understand what he meant. This is his model. This is his example par excellence of a difference in terms of the chevtza. So I was once, I used to say chabur. So I'm not, do you remember those days? I used to say Thursday nights. You're part of those? Whatever. That kufa. So I used to say chaburs on Thursday nights in yeshiva. So, I was once talking about this, and there was somebody who was. And I was making a little like little comment, like I said, I don't really understand the science here. Now, what's the difference when it's cooked in the fire? Okay. So there was somebody that had a little bit more science background than myself. It's not too hard to get more of a science background than somebody said to me, "No, Rabbi Sablovsky, he said, if I didn't even call me Rabbi Sablovsky, if I was on in those days." He said, "No, the Eglei Tal's right in the science, and you're wrong in the science." He said that when something is cooked in the sun. So he's explained to me the molecules are heated from the outside, from the inside. It's like microwaves. He's trying to explain to me why it's a different kind of different visual process. So he says scientifically, whether the Eglei Tal had all that science, 100% ice cow, a different story. But he said, but it's fundamentally so that something that's cooked in the chamitaveri and something that's cooked in the fire is a different kind of a battle. He's trying to explain to me, it's a different kind of a visual. I don't know whose science is right. I don't know. But Lamais, that's what the Eglei Tal says. So how does this impact on kashrus? So it impacts on kashrus follows that since we're connecting the dots from Shabbos to Pesach, if the Gemara connected the dots from Shabbos to Pesach, so then we can connect the dots to the Bas B'Cholov as well, and maybe there would be no Bas B'Cholov deraisa if you have Bishul B'Chami Tiberia or Bishul B'Chama. Now, we still have a little while to go to figure out what is the modern day equivalent. Most of us are not cooking in the sun, most of us are not cooking in Chami Tiberia, but we have other kinds of cooking devices out there that quote unquote cook without too much flame, without too much fire. We call the microwaves, so we have to try to figure out where do those fit into. That's a loaded question. Halacha Maase at many, many different levels. But this is all assuming that we're going down this route of Shalom Kederach. We said this machlekes. We have to talk mitzvah next week. We'll start with the other side of the story. Rav Shlomo Zalman, who disagreed with Rav Moshe's entire premise of the sugya that cooking in the chama has nothing to do with Shalom Kederach. So mitzvah next week. We'll try to pick up from this.